the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. The morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel, true the Lord, shall not kneel and shall not fade. And by his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King.
One more time, let him hear how much you appreciated that. Great job, guys. The funnest part is watching the parents up front trying to fight over the camera shots. But when you get over that, there is something so special about a child worshiping. There's something so special about that. If I had to say there was anything that I missed being over in the kids' room with Kylie, it is during the worship time when they are all singing, worshiping, and lifting their hands, and it's just amazing. Well, good evening. We have got a packed house. It looks great. I love it. I heard someone say, can you scoot over because I don't have a seat to sit in back there. And I was like, oh, that's good to hear. That's good news. We have a commercial. Where did he go? Oh, there he is. We have a commercial for you. You know, Jim Connor has been working at this camp for a long time and volunteering his time. He's special to the camp. Let's hear how much we appreciate Jim Connor.
Thank you, Wayne. Isn't it great to be at Taylor County Camp this evening? Looking forward to even greater things as we move through the evening. A couple of things I want to thank you for coming to the bookstore and visiting me. That's one of the ways I get to get a little bit more of a one-on-one with each of you. We have a few changes this year. You know, we have a lot of used books over there, and between Mary Ellen Gardner and myself, over the years, we've tried to put them in some type of order. Now, we've gone even further to the point where we have them in certain categories. But I have a problem. Some of the books, I'm not sure what category to put them in. So I'm going to ask you, come visit me at some point in time in the week. Look over some of those books and see if you can help us with either the categories we already have put together or a new category. Okay? Now, a couple of things. We've still got some T-shirts. 85th anniversary from last year. So these are now collector items. So just thought I'd let you know there's still a lot of children's sizes, but we still have a few adults. So they're over there. They're available. I'm open tonight and then again through the rest of the week. I will be closed on Friday because now I have to do inventory and get ready to close down camp. But that's in the future. We'll be open tonight right after the main service. Also, I've got some books. Now, you may not know it, but we have an author right in our midst who's teaching Bible study, Dr. Carter. I have a couple of his books, both Big Picture People and Not a Chance. Excellent, excellent reading material. I also might be able to get him to autograph your copy. So we have those over in the bookstore. Also, Claudia Charlet and her husband came earlier this week, left us some books in the ministry they're doing in Haiti. I still have some copies available before I send them back. I'd like to just sell them all out. There's only 10 books over there. It is excellent reading. And then last but not least, someone has donated some crochet material. This is just one. This happens to be a blanket. And if you're interested, I have some of these products over there in the bookstore. All of the funds that come out of this will go directly into missions. So it's not going to be a part of the camp, but it's part of missions. That's all I have. Thank you for your time. Look forward to seeing you in the bookstore.
If you didn't hear, some of the crochet material is on sale, and that money goes towards missions. Let's do some fast announcements, and then we're going to worship together. First of all, tonight, after the service, we will be having popcorn up in the cafeteria. So head up that way, get you a bag of popcorn, sit down and fellowship with the lovely people that you are sitting around. Tomorrow is Asbury Day, and so Bert Jones will be joining us tomorrow. You'll hear from him at the 7 o'clock in an Asbury update. And at 6 o'clock in the President's Cottage, there will be a reception for all alumni there, and Bert Jones will be there to run that reception. Also, registration. If you have not registered, she knows where you sleep. So make sure that you register. Not only does she know where you sleep, but she has a key. Don't make her hunt you down. You can click on that QR code to register online, or you can go up to the office to see her up there. I sent her a text this morning, and I just said, I'm sorry, LOL. And she was like, what are you sorry for? Just wait. Oh, that's funny. All right. Y'all ready to worship together? Yes. Let's all stand, and I will pray to open us up, and then I'll turn it over to Brian to lead us into worship. Father God, I'm reminded, looking at the children and watching them worship, how much you loved children. And you called us to a childlike faith. And so, God, here we are with childlike faith, just wanting to get closer to our Father. So we'll lift high your name. We will sing your praises. We will claim your victory. And God, I just pray that through this time that you will be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Remain standing if you would. Sing it out.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Lord, you are King of all things, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, and all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you are my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, here I am to worship, here I am to bow. Say that you're my God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was great that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Hallelujah. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. Has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Sing it, church. My chains are gone. Sing it to Him. Oh Lord, You are forever. Hallelujah.
Amazing grace demands an amazing surrender. Thank you, Brian. I've asked Dr. Tim Throckmorton if he would come up and share just a little bit of who he is and then pray for our offering. So let's get the ushers to come forward to take up this evening's offering. We are well over 50,000 on our way to filling the budget this year. That's something to celebrate. Our annual budget is somewhere in the 70s, early 70s, I think. And so I think we're at 52, 53,000. So let's keep pressing forward. We keep getting closer and closer. I saw Susan come in. Where are we on the youth shares? 87. All right, we're getting closer. And I've heard some people say, we're going to do this. So I think we'll get to that. We just need a few more. How many of you think you can pick up a youth share and let's get to 100 this year? Yep, all those hands. Thank you so much. I knew you could do it. No, I'm just kidding. If you were not here at the 9:30 Bible study, you missed a great presentation by Dr. Tim. And so I've asked him to pray for offerings. So let's welcome him again to the pulpit.
Blessed to be with you. I serve as the National Director of Church Engagement and Community Impact for the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. We are a policy organization and a think tank, and we provide each and every day a real-time biblical worldview perspective on what's happening in culture. Our resources are vast, and we invite you to stop by the table. There's just a few things left, but see me if you want to know more. I'd love to tell you how to reach out to us and pray for us. God's placed us in a very important role, in a very important place for this season. Dr. James Dobson founded us 42 years ago, and we're there as a biblical worldview perspective voice to what's happening in our nation's capital. So thank you for your prayers, and let's pray for the offering tonight. Father, I praise you and thank you for the moments that you've given us together here at this camp, at Taylor Camp. I know we all have been moved by these children as they sang and as they shared the scriptures with us. And I have been truly moved by what we really give to as we provide the resources for this camp. It's for generations to come. Lord, it will help us, it'll bless us, but it is sowing deeply and intentionally into the hearts and minds of these precious children and future generations. And so, Lord, bless us as we consider the resources you've given and entrusted to us to be good stewards in this moment and take what is given and bless it and multiply it and place it in exactly the place it needs to be where it may bring honor and glory to the kingdom of God. Bless this offering. Bless those that are giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
As the ushers get started, I want to just give a moment of testimony here to introduce this next song. Penny and I are here. We've enjoyed being here with you, my wife and I, for 42 years. We live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We've been there 2 years. We moved there to be grandma and grandpa. And those parents out here of these kids that were up here, wonderful, beautiful kids, stick with it. When they grow up, they'll have kids, and then you'll be happy, all right? Because being a grandpa and a grandma is really great. But anyway, we live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I've been on the road as a full-time song evangelist for 35 years in the Church of the Nazarene. And so how I got started was this. I was a part of my church at home, Clearwater First Church of the Nazarene, and I was in the landscaping service, and I had been to college and come back and began my own landscaping service. I was part of a Sunday school class that did a musical, and we practiced it and finally sang it to the congregation on a Sunday morning. There was a gentleman in the audience who was studying with the Tampa Bay Opera Company, and he said, "You need to come and sing for my voice teacher." And I said, "No, thank you. I've got this grass to cut," because opera was pretty low on my priority list. So, but he was one of these guys that stayed after me week after week. He'd say, "Hey, won't you?" So finally, on a Tuesday afternoon, looking and smelling like you do after you mow grass all day in Florida, I went into this music studio, and my friend had his voice lesson, and then I sat there, and my knees started shaking, and the guy, the Italian man behind the piano, called me over to sing my lesson, you know. And so he played things on the piano and looked at me and kept going higher and higher, and I sang the notes back to him. He said, if you'll keep coming, I'd like to teach you. Now, I was saved in a Wednesday night prayer meeting service when I was 12 years old. I really wanted what God had for me from that point on, and I thought, how in the world have I gotten to this place where I'm in this studio singing opera music? But I kept going, and he said, if you'll keep coming, I'd like to teach you. And I said, well, in the back of my mind, Penny and I were engaged at that point. And I thought, if I took these voice lessons, I could surprise her and sing to her at the wedding. So the months went by. I sang to her at the wedding. You can see she married me anyway. Some more time passed, and because we were there in Florida, anybody old enough in here to remember the Lawrence Welk show? It was in reruns when I was a kid, so I don't know how old that show is, but I would watch it with my grandma on Saturday nights. But those singers on that show would come to Florida, and I would get Norma Zimmer and Jim Roberts and Tom Netherton. We'd get to, you know, and sing for the opera company, and we'd all do songs, solos, and do a song together. They'd fly on out to wherever they were going the next on Monday, and I would go back out and cut grass. My customers would say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? And I said, well, I sang with, and they just looked at me like I had heat stroke or sunstroke or something. So finally it happened. I was on the stage of the Performing Arts Hall. I had on a tuxedo. There's a beautiful grand piano in a beautiful theater. And just sits on the bay there in Safety Harbor, Florida. And I walked out thinking, you know, I'd finally made it. And there was a lady in the audience sitting right behind Penny. And the lady leaned forward and said, oh, that's my lawn man. And it's really hard to have a big ego when there's people like that in the audience, you know. So anyway, that was Mrs. Walker, and Mrs. Walker was a talker. So soon it got around, that's really what I was doing on weekends. But as time went on, I had to decide what kind of music I wanted to concentrate on. And the opera was good training. It was nice entertainment. But the gospel shared through music can change people's lives for eternity. And so that was an easy decision for me. And I said, Lord, if you'll open the doors, I'll just keep walking through them. And that's what happened. I finally just got invited to so many places. I had to sell that lawn service. And so now for, like I said, 35 years, I've been on the road doing revivals and concerts and things like that. So, but my voice teacher, the Italian guy sitting behind the piano, he said, what are you going to do with all that Italian I've taught you? And I said, well, Mario. His name was Mario. That's pretty fitting. But anyway, I said, well, Mario, I've got this one song that I can do, and I'll tell people about you, how much you wanted me to sing opera. And he lived to be 101 years old, and I saw him about every week for 30-some years. But he said, okay. He agreed. He let me go in ministry. But anyway, this is a song, a tune that you'll recognize. And this is with the London Symphony, so I hope you enjoy that. But this is the reason I sing. Hallelujah.
Cosa nariurnate sole, naria serena dopo una tempesta, bell'aria fresca, pare chiara festa, che bella cosa nariurna tu sole. Stein fronte a te.
All right, sing that much with me, all right? Ready? No. I don't know what I said either. So those are good words. That's nice music. But my friends, this is the salvation story.
Down from his glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, and to his own a stranger, a man of sorrow, tears, and agony. And oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my bread, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator. He became my Savior and all God's fullness.
I think that's the first time I've ever come to the pulpit for a standing ovation. That's pretty good. Just saying. Secondly, I really do not like when I've been set up. First the kids, and wow, what a, I think your life's going to be all right when you're standing on a stage doing signs and singing and quoting verses. I think about Matthew 18:3 says, except I come converted and become as a little child, I'll not enter the kingdom. And that's what a great reminder. And then I got to follow that. I've been set up. I was all ready to sing some Italian. And then he told us he didn't even know what he was singing, so I don't know. So we just make it up. I would scare you and tell you that I have a short sermon tonight. That's a lot of times when preachers lie to you, but I think it's relatively short, and I'm glad. I tell you what, we've already had church. If you've not sensed the Lord's presence, I don't think you've been paying attention, and I appreciate you being here. I've already told two or three people tonight that I was going to point them out to come to the altar, okay? So y'all get ready. We have the invitation, and I start pointing at folks. We'll see where they're going to walk in obedience to the Lord or to Jay, one or the other, all right? We're going to have a great time. Tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And then I'll go ahead and tell you at the end tonight, we're going to be in Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter 8, if you want to make that note. And hopefully we'll get there. And I want to share with you some thoughts that I thought about it after Brother Jim brought out books and things like that. I have attempted to write a manuscript over the sermon title tonight. For the past 20-something years, I've added to it. I've actually sought out a ghostwriter to help me with this because I'm very fascinated with this premise tonight, and I guess it means more to us than ever. And the sermon title and the thought tonight is Dead Men See His Face. And it's unique because in every aspect of God's creation and our spiritual being, When we die, we experience Christ. Even a pagan, I alluded to it this morning, the scripture says that every knee's going to bow and every tongue confess. So even the person that never gave God that place in his heart, one day is going to see him. I like the way Paul said it. He said, today we look through a glass dimly. But one day, you know what I would say? Okay, a clear glass, Harley. I would say clear glass. Right now, if we're looking dimly, and I really can't see, it's like smoked glass in a bathroom. I know there's something back there, but I don't know it in its entirety. Brother Doug, I would have said clear glass. But you know what the writer said? Today we look through a glass dimly. One day, face to face. I've never been more excited about that day than the thought. And you know, even today's a good day, and I trust everybody on the sound of my voice at least knows the Lord. If you're not walking in all that light, at least you can confess that you know him. Or tonight's a great night to get to know him. But I want to share with you some thoughts along the line that a dead man sees his face. All right, and look, it's crowded in here. Now, I was going to tell you something. If you're crowded right where you are, we got about 8 or 10 little spit seats up here front, okay, that I'm liable to spit on you, but there's some places up here. So if you're elbow to elbow and they're not smelling too nice, all right, you can come this way while we pray. And just, you know, spread out a little bit if you want to, all right? And but what a good-looking crowd tonight. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory for who you are. Lord, for all that's going on, would it just be a crowning time for us together? Lord, I think about the kids. I think about the song. I think about the worship tonight. It's all about you. I thank you for all your blessings, but use us tonight. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for what you do. For we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to show you some things, and then I'm going to have you stand for the word, all right? John the Revelator was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. The thought was, we're leaving him out there by himself to die. Well, we know he didn't. Tradition tells us that. History tells us that. But God got him right to a place when it looked like death was evident, it was imminent, it's going to happen. That's when he saw God in a new and fresh way. Peter was in prison. He was left for dead. God showed up. The three Hebrew children were thrown in the fiery furnace. You know the rest of the story, don't you? There's one in the fire with them, likened to the Son of God. Jonah was thrown overboard. He was left for dead, and it was exactly what God intended. Been studying that out lately. I don't know if you know this, but the Ninevites worshipped a fish god. It's a pretty good story. There's more to that story a lot of times than just the great fish that swallowed him up. When he showed up and he was bleached and they saw him, it not only was a miracle that God did to him, but it was a miracle that he had started for the Ninevites as the revival was on. Paul and Silas were left for dead. I've already shared that. At midnight, they were praising the Lord and God showed up, and you know the rest of the story if you were here. Stephen, this morning, we talked about, was being stoned, and in the moment when he was leaving this world to go into the next world, he saw Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. But you remember what God told him? He said, to see my glory in your state, you will surely die. Dead men see his face. All right, let's do a little exercise today. If you're able, would you stand in honor of God's word? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. This translation says this, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. May God add his blessings to his word. You may be seated. Oh, it's unique. Dead men see his face. Some might have come in tonight and think, what in the world is he talking about? Well, we know when we take our last breath, we're going to see God. We know there's going to be an accounting. We know there's going to be a judgment seat for all of us, what we did righteously and also those that never knew the Lord. Dead men see his face. We understand that. There's, with every fiber of my faithful being, I believe that's what's occurred in my family recently. But you know what I want to share with you tonight is this. When I think about dead men see his face first, and this is going to sound really like a paradox, but it's liberating. I believe there's so many people in their experience, even with Christ, and knowing him as their Savior, they live beneath their privileges. The word tells us things like his yoke is easy and his burden is light. How in the world can that be? The old hymn tells us that burdens are lifted at Calvary. Paul wrote to the Philippians that there's a peace that God can give us that passes all understanding, that keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:8 that it's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory that we preached about the second day here. It's unique. One thing I want to remind you of today, that there's always a tomorrow for the child of God. Because dead men see his face. But it goes so much further than that. It's unique. When I think about the promises and provisions for the child of God after salvation, it's amazing. But there's a death process. And I think very few people that really understand this. I don't want to say it's a dying message. I don't want to play on words. But we need to grab this and understand it. I hope it challenges you. I don't care what your theological background is. Get in the Word of God and see how far God wants to take you. I shared this premise. I said several years ago, I decided, and it wasn't like I leave the Word, but I have a lot more progress in this. I have a lot more success in this, talking to someone about the Lordship of Christ in your life versus sanctification. I don't leave the Word out. But I'll even say holiness, and I'm not saying that we stay away from those words. I want you and I want me to be able to understand it and be able to articulate it to someone else when you're talking to them about it. And I'll tell you what makes sense to me. And this is just a petty thing, and you know, preachers can be petty, and all the lay folks can amen that. That's all right. But here's what I want you to know. For years and years of my life, I would see the televangelist. I'd see the church program come on. And somewhere the last 2 minutes of the show, they would say, if you'd pray this prayer, I mean, some of the stalwarts of the faith, people that I love and respect and follow, and I would often call them mentors from a distance. They would say something like this: if you'll pray this prayer, by the way, that's not in the Bible, but if you'll pray this prayer, we just believe that God just became your Lord and Savior. You heard that before? Your Lord and Savior. And we just flip those words around. And without even realizing, I believe the guilt comes of it. For sometime what has happened is, somebody believes if they'll just profess Christ and accept him as their Savior, then automatically he's the Lord of your life. There's only one problem with that. Are y'all ready? That's not in the Word of God. When I accept Christ as my Savior, he's my Savior. If I die, I'm going to heaven. Not because of what Jay did. It's a free gift. I've just taken God at his offer. But he's not the Lord of my life. I'll give you a chronological example. I was saved when I was 7. You know the first time I could really, honestly, with integrity, say that I believe that he's the Lord of my life? You know how old I was? It wasn't last week, thank the Lord. I was about 21 years old. Before I understood what it meant to lay it all on the altar. Just because somebody comes to the altar and accepts Christ, that's what God did for you. You got to get this now, because we're going somewhere with it. Dead men see his face. When you're saved, you are operating in the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Not in what you've done, but what he did for you. And so the more that I die unto Jay and live unto him, the more Christ can be evident in my life. And this is the message that's not been taught today. We're just excited if we can get them to church and hopefully they'll start tithing sometime. You know, or we can get them to work with the kids or the youth. But God not only wants to be your Savior, listen to me. If you know Christ, and I got to believe the vast majority of the people here, but if there's one that slipped in and you don't know Christ, tonight's the night. If you need better biblical understanding, today's the day of salvation. But if you've been born again, there's a dying process that happens after salvation too. And look, I've been taken to task with this kind of stuff. And I'll tell you why I believe, and this is Jay's opinion, fully my opinion. I believe, and I said it earlier, I believe we want to live in so much grace of God, we want to know how much we can get away with and still be right with God and go to heaven instead of living in victory before we get there. And you want to tell you where victory happens? Victory happens when he's the Lord of your life and not just your Savior. I hope that's as clear as I hope that it would be. But listen to me. It's a life, if you're going to live like God wants you to live, and this is such a play on words, it's a life of death. Brother Jay, that doesn't make sense. Well, I hope it does in a minute. I know that sounds morbid, but it's actually moral. It took me years to be able to process this, much less clarify it for someone else. A living sacrifice. It's nobody at Bethel Church, so I'm not talking about Bethel Church, okay? I know the first thing people will say, oh, he's doing this. He's finally got his day of vindication. That's so far from the truth. But I will tell you this. There's a lot of people that are banking on a lot of what Jesus did, that God has more for them in their life. He wants us to have victory before we get there. Amen? Listen, I don't want to get anybody the skin of my teeth. I want to be walking in all the light that he would have me walk in. And if you're going to do that, that's not knowing him as your Savior, hoping that you're going to heaven. Listen, I'm assured for heaven as if I was already there. I want to be walking in victory, and that victory comes from the Lordship of Christ, not the Saviorship of Christ. And if you don't understand that, I'll talk to you for a while anyway, a little while. But it's a life of death. The line is drawn that you can have a Savior and him not be your Lord. Well, it's very plain in the Word of God. See, that if somebody would compromise that, then we need to go back and say what we would compromise to be saved. Because then we start changing the narrative, and we're in trouble when you do that. And you can't do enough to be right with God to begin with. But you remember, I said it a couple of services ago. He so loved the world that he gave, and Jesus came and bled and died on a cross. He did all that for us. It's a free gift for us. But you know what Jesus said about living it? He said about loving him, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you want to show me to others, then not only am I going to be your Savior, but I need to be your Lord. When you keep his commandments, when you obey God, he becomes your Lord, not just your Savior. It's a life of death. There was a Tanner, T-A-N-N-E-R, who said it this way: I live to die, D-Y-E. If we had it up here on the multimedia, it'd be great. But we don't. I live to die. I die to live. The more I die, the better I live. Talking about his occupation. The more I live, the better I die. Wow. And watch this. If you change the word die to D-I-E, think about this. I live to die. D-I-E. I die to live. The more I die, the better I live. And the more I live, the better I die. People want to talk about what the sanctified life is about and the spirit-filled life is about and what holiness is about. Here it is. It's a life of death. It's a place that God brings us to. And as long as you fight carnality, and as long as you want to stand under grace so much that I can go do whatever I want to do and God still loves me, he loves you. But you're going to live short of your privileges of Almighty God. It's a life of death. And last, think about this. Paul said this as we transition. He said things like this: I die daily, he said to the letter of the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15:31, if you're taking notes. Paul said, I die daily. I study that out, and it doesn't just mean one thing. It means at any time I know my life could end. At any time I don't know what I'm facing in this life, but I'm willing to die for it. Is that not what we're saying today? I don't want to divulge into this, but I'm going to tell you something. The last 3 months, I have a greater appreciation of dying. He said, man, that sounds morbid. Just a few days after Mallory's accident, I'm in my barn, and it's open on one end, and we had a bad storm that came up, and lightning was popping everywhere, and rain had already blown in, and it was around my feet. Lightning struck the field about, I don't know, quarter of a mile, half a mile from where I was standing. Any other time, I'd have jumped around, looked like a bunny rabbit going to hide, getting out of there. And I remember I just stood there, and it wasn't in defiance of God, but all it was is I was hurting so bad because one that I love was already over there, beat me over there. And all I could think about was, if this is the time to go, that's all right. You know, because it was all right. You follow me? A lot of times it's not all right because it's not all right. It's a life of death. Give me one more. What it really comes down to with dead men seeing his face is less of me and more of him. James 4:8, we don't like these kind of verses, but it's truth. James wrote it this way: draw nigh to God. You know what he said? God will draw nigh to you. But it doesn't happen in a vacuum. You know how it happens? You got to cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. You're double-minded. And one day that hit me in my own individual study. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you, but it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't just happen by coming to an altar. Listen to this now. This will preach. You might even want to amen or oh me it, okay? But listen, when you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. But here's the qualifications. You got to cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. You don't come to God like you are and think God's going to do something for you if you're not going to change. And let me tell you something. He knows. He knows when we play. He knows when we're serious. The Word of God says things like this: lift up holy hands, Brother Doug. He knows when we're raising our hands and we're far from God. He knows when it's a show for everyone else that's in the tabernacle. He also knows when it's holy hands. He also knows when we're abiding. Where did Brian go? Brian, why'd you go back there to almost the back seat? Sing that Italian song and then go back here and hide. What are you doing back there? Thought you went on to the room or something. You sang so hard. And need to rest up. But think about it. People today are so mixed up in their theology, wanting something that God's not going to bless because they haven't gone as far as God wants to take them. Wow. It's amazing. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. But you got to cleanse inside. You got to ask God to cleanse the inside. You got to fix the outside. He's not going to draw closer without it. It's going to cost you something. And it's so true. And I wrote it down this way for you, that a couple of things. One, it's about percentage, not partnership. There's only 100% of me. I'm not in a partnership with God. You want to talk about holiness? Here it is. It's not a partnership. If he's going to be Lord of my life, it's more of him and less of me. John 3 says it. For him to increase, you know the rest of the verse? It's a good one to commit to memory. It's real small. For him to increase, I got to decrease. So it's not about partnership. We say games like, we say things like, I put my hand in him and God and I are just walking along. No. God's the authority. We have dominion. God's showing us how to live. See, this is where I think sometimes grace gets blown out of proportion. Somehow or another, we brought God down, like it says to Romans 1, we made him like us. Yes, we have some of his features. We have his image and his likeness, but he's God and he's holy. And you and I are finite and he's infinite. One day we're going to give an account to him. See, yes, you might. It's okay to say I put my hand in his hand, but let me tell you something. He's leading, not taking a walk with you. It's not about partnership. It's about percentage. Let me explain it quickly. The more of him in my life, the less of myself. So the percentage of God increases, I naturally decrease. There's only 100%. It's not 200%. It's not 50%. The more that I am, the less I am, the more he is. And if I want to draw nigh to him, there has to be less of me. God's been hanging out in my life like that, if you can't tell. The other one, I grew up with this, and you'll love it. It's just a simple little thing. It was vogue there for probably in the 80s. People would have bumper stickers. We didn't have plates much. I remember when cars didn't have plates on the front. They had bumper stickers they put on them. And I remember people would get the sticker and put it on and said, God is my co-pilot. Y'all remember that? And it's been said a million times, but it's a great reminder. God's not your co-pilot. If you and I are going to be what God wants us to be in our life, he's got to be the pilot. Amen? We're not holding hands in this thing. He's leading us. He's the authority. It's less of me and more of him. I want to close with a story that's found in chapter 8 of the book of Luke. If you have that, I think I gave that to you earlier. I'd like to read verses 41 to 48 of Luke chapter 8. Many of you would remember this. This is the woman I remember at Bethel Church. We did it in a drama. It was the miracle with the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. Hemophiliac is what somebody would say she had in today's terminology. It says that she had exhausted everything she had in one account. She didn't have anything left, and she heard that Jesus was coming. The story picks up as a man by the name of Jairus, and he wants God to come to his house and perform a miracle on a family member. And then he encounters this woman, and I want to read it and make an observation, and I'll almost be done, all right? And there came a man named Jairus, verse 41, Luke 8, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I don't know how many years ago it was. I think it was in my own reading. I don't think it was preparing for a sermon. I think it was in my own devotional reading, I guess. I was reading this passage and it hit me. I saw the modern day church. For us this week, I saw the modern day camp meeting. We're all here. The crowd's here, Brother Doug. They're all here. Look good, don't they? Look good. Brother Doug took a video. There's no telling where that's going to end up. But anyway, I tried to pull in my stomach, and I'm going to be front and center of that video, and I know it. We're the crowd. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" You know what Peter's answer was? I love it. I find myself in Peter so much. He said, "Lord, they're all touching us." Jesus said, "Oh, no. They haven't all touched me. Only one." You know what I surmise out of that? You've got to watch this now. We can be in the crowd and not touch him. "But Lord, I was at Taylor County Camp." And Jesus will say, "But you didn't touch me." "But brother, listen, Lord, I go to church." "I go to church. But you don't touch me." I love where he said, "Look, I am aware." I love this translation, by the way. "I am aware that power went out of me." So, Brother Jay, what are you talking about? Did you know that the scripture says if you'll confess your sins? Aren't you glad he said, aren't you glad it doesn't read? Well, I'll let you know. I'll do a little research. See whether you're merited or not. No, if I confess my sins, watch this. He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from how much unrighteousness, Brother Doug? We're liking that word this week, aren't we? All unrighteousness. All. Not some, not most, not the most egregious. All. What am I telling you? Before the foundations of the world, I believe with everything about me, before the foundations of the world, God set this night in place for you and me. I believe it. People say, "Oh, Brother Jay, I don't believe it." Well, if he can create something from nothing, I think he can handle this little thing. Now, the real meaning is this. Are we just going to be in the crowd? Or are we going to touch him? I'll tell you how it's always worked in my life. Maybe you can do it different. I said it this morning. I said, done very few things right consistently in my life. But one thing is I can name probably on one or two hands at the max the amount of times that God spoke to my heart where you're sitting tonight. And I said no to him. Now, when I ran from the Lord a few months in my teenage years, wasn't quite a year, I didn't go to church. You know why? Because I didn't want to be in church and God deal with me. And I knew what I needed to do. I'm going to run. I'm going to stay away from church. I love telling this. My mama said, "You got to go to church to live at home." You know what I did? I found the deadest church in Milledgeville, Georgia to go to. True story. I'm sitting in the service in the back. One Sunday, I played softball with this church. But I was telling mama, I'm going to church, running from God, calling my life and all that. And the guy got up and his whole sermon was the lyrics of Beat It, one of Michael Jackson's songs. And I remember sitting in the pew going, have I got so far away from God? I mean, I grew up under hard preaching now. I'm talking about get a hold of you. It's like, you know, your mama called him and told him what to preach on kind of preaching. And I'm sitting in church going, have I gotten so far away from God in a few months that I got a preacher that he didn't talk about the word, he talked about the lyrics of a secular song. And that really was the thing that, one of the things that propelled you, this not going anywhere in a hurry. So what I'm telling you is this, you can be in the crowd and not touch him. And you know what else I know? She was the only one that knew it. I've not come here to try to fix your life, but I would like to introduce you to somebody who can. Amen? I've not come here to tell you that it's all going to be roses and it's all going to feel good because I'm not living there right now. But I'll tell you, I'm not going to preach it while I'm here. I just preached it at my church. But for hope, I have a hope that sure, I'm assured for heaven as if I was already there, folks. You say, Brother Jay, why? Because of what he did. But now he asked me before that time, he wants to be the Lord of my life. He doesn't want to just be my Savior. I get so tired of hearing that kind of stuff. Yes, he wants to take you to heaven and spend forever with you. That's how much he loves you. He's waiting. He can't wait for the Father to tell him to come back and get us. John 14 says so. But you know what? Before he comes, he wants me to live a life that brings glory and honor to him. Is it hard? Mm-hmm. But I guarantee he'll help you tonight if you touch him. Who touched me? Peter said, Lord, this crowd is pressing on us. They're all touching us. No, only one. And you know what? I'll just ask you to be obedient to this right here. That heart's beating, and you know. You know right now God is calling you to himself, whatever that looks like. Whatever that looks like. You know the great news? He'll meet you here. That's the great news. He doesn't turn us away. If we're obedient to him, he doesn't turn us away. That's what we do. That's the way I want to end tonight. You can be in the crowd, and boy, we got a good-looking crowd here. It's a crowd, Brother Doug. It's a crowd. But you can be right here in this crowd, in this tabernacle, and not touch him. I want to give you opportunity today. You know how you do that? You got to die. You got to die. Not to my will, not to my desires, not to my ambitions, but to yours. And the more we die, the better we live. And here's where it comes down to it. Are we going to be obedient to what God wants to do in our life? Or are we going to keep on being in the crowd thinking we're touching him? Wow. We're there. Brother Brian, you ready? Coming from the back of the place. And we are going to sing in English, aren't we? Just checking. Just checking. Just checking. Hey, I'm going to ask you to bow your head where you are. Lord, in just a minute, we're going to ask people to step out from the crowd and have a personal time with you. I just wonder, sometimes I'd like for you to show me, other times, Lord, I wouldn't want to know any of it. But I wonder right now, Holy Spirit, how many that you're drawing to yourself. That who knows, maybe for years they've lived in a Savior relationship. That they wonder why it just never makes sense. It never adds up. I can't live it. At best, I'm hoping in God's grace that he's going to take me to heaven and that I'm secure in that. And he's done such a great work that I'm hoping in that regard. But God, we live beneath our privileges when we live that way. Lord, in the midst of tragedy, I thank you, God, what you've done for me. I've never been more surrendered than I am right now. Never been more committed for you just to do your work. That it's not about a show and it's not about entertainment. It's really about touching you. So God, I pray for all of us here, regardless of who we are, regardless of what we think everybody knows about us and what everybody thinks and even the enemy plays in our mind. How long has it been since some in this room have touched you? And the sadness is we think because we came to this building tonight that we've touched you. Well, the scripture says otherwise. So in this moment, I pray for freedom in the house of the Lord. I pray, God, that we wouldn't just be in the crowd and be satisfied with that. But God, there was something that would resonate deep within us that if we don't do anything else, God, we want to touch you tonight. Her life was changed forever because she touched you. Our lives have been changed forever because we've touched you. So God, tonight, would there be freedom? We'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. As Brian sings tonight, the altar's yours. Brother Jay, I need to touch the Lord tonight. Whether that's spiritually or some other regard, you need to touch him. I invite you to God's altar tonight. I don't think he would speak to you if he just wanted you to keep it to yourself and go home with it. Profess him tonight before men. He'll profess you before the Father.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
We're going to pray. One more verse. Sing it.
Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone.
I need about 10 or 15 that would come down and just agree with these. We're not in a hurry. But I just need some saints that would just come. Nobody needs to pray by themselves. You don't have to get in their business. You don't have to bother them or say anything to them. Just in agreement. Nobody prays by themselves. Thank you, Lord. There's still time, folks. That heart's beating about 90 miles an hour. I beg you. God wants to do something you can't do for yourself. Believe him for it. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. We thank you, God. But for hope. But for hope. I thank you, Lord, tonight, that you bring us to a place of full surrender. Sometimes that surrender is done through the pain. Progress happens through pain. I don't understand it, but I know you went to great lengths through pain to redeem us. God, that our walk sometimes, Lord, is through pain and not understanding, but I give you praise and glory that this is not the end. Thanks be to the Lord that this is not the end. And God, I know tonight that the more I die, the more that there's less of Jay, I understand there's more of you. And God, I believe that has to do with not only my person, but my perspective, the presence of Almighty God in my life. God, I give you praise and glory. And then, Lord, tonight I pray in agreement with all of these. You know, we think we know. The one thing I've learned, Lord, of many things that people don't really know. It's just between you and me. what's going on with me. But Lord, I know tonight that you're not only my Savior, you not only want to take me to the glorious celestial, but God, you want to be Lord of my life before I get there. And Lord, some of that is tough. Crucifying that flesh and dying to self so that you can live afresh and anew in this world is tough. But God, I pray for your peace tonight. Lord, that's all we got, is the hope and the peace that we have in you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing. God, I pray for a perspective. I pray for a healing. Most of all, I pray for just a yieldedness that we realize you haven't brought us this far to let us down or let us go. That God, one day, and what a glorious day that will be, God, I give you praise just in advance for that faith and understanding of what will come. God, I pray that peace would be the order tonight, and God will be careful to give you the praise and the glory now and forevermore. For we ask it and pray it in the name of Jesus, who's not only our Savior to take us to heaven, but the Lord of our life before we get there. God, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pray as long as you need to. Less of Jay guarantees me more of Christ in my life. I love the old saying that when Christ is all you have, then you realize he's all you'll ever need. I stand before you in a new and a clear way of telling you it's not always going to be good on this side. But I'm glad I read the last page. Amen? Read the last page. It'll be a long time before I not pray about what I saw tonight. One of the pitfalls of our world we live in is we all have watches, telephones, and agendas. I almost think sometimes God waits for us to get on his timetable. Our church is heavily involved in Curcio, which is the beginning. Out of that came Walk to Emmaus. I'll never forget when I went to Walk to Emmaus as these are praying. The first night I went, it was official. I thought I was at a cult. Cool. I was there for one day, and I had a death in my church, so I had to leave. Suzanne went on, so the next year I went. And that day, I knew what was coming that first day. And again, that night, I thought, I'm at a cult. They hadn't changed one bit. It's the same it was last year. But you know what I saw? I really believe this. I think it took about a day to get all the world out. The next 2.5 days, I thought, this must be what heaven's like. No conditions, no pride, everybody's serving, everybody's loving. And I remember on that Sunday evening leaving going, this is what heaven, just a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. You've never been a part of that. It doesn't make much sense to you, maybe. But that whole day of, that half a day of not talking and half a day of, they took my watch away and everybody was acting sort of strange. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's a cult. You know what it is? I believe it. I believe camp meets the same way. We rush in here. Okay, God, if we're going to do it, we're going to drive through the drive-through window. And God, if you're going to bless us, make sure it's a combo with a Diet Coke. But you know, I think sometimes God wants us to wait on him. You say, how do you know that? It's in the Bible. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So I think, and I know we're busy. There's almost a part of me wants to apologize if you got to get up early in the morning and work. I just tell you, if that's the case, don't watch TV when you get home, okay? Don't eat that late night snack. It's going to wake you up at 2 in the morning, and you're going to blame us for it. You know what I'm talking about? I told you my first night when Georgia Camp used to be here, the best nights I ever remember as a teenager, Brother Wayne, was when a thunderstorm would come up, and we dropped the curtains, and we couldn't go to the concession stand. You couldn't go anywhere. And they would play, and we would sing, Miss Carol. And God's presence would come in this place. You know what I remember about that as a 16 or 17-year-old? I didn't want to leave, Brother Doug. I didn't want to leave. 16 years old. Oh, man, I was athletic and had everything going on. I was probably chasing a girl or two here at the camp. And I just remember, wait a second. It was a place where I didn't want to listen. I remember his presence. So sometimes we rip and run in this life. And we wonder why it won't happen for us. Might be because we're too alive. Maybe we need to crawl up on that cross again and be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Let me pray, okay? Lord, I don't know, but you do. And Lord, if there's some dying going on, I pray that you receive it as a wonderful offering tonight. I pray if there's an issue of heart or issue of life, may you reveal yourself in such a way that this one will know that you've got it. If she's given it to you, that your hands are big enough, your shoulders are broad enough, you can handle it. And I pray what you've done for many times when we prayed it, God, I pray for a peace that would come, that she would know that she's touched you and virtue has come out of you. Power has come out of you into her life. And that she would know, Lord, that you've done your work. Whatever it looks like, we claim it for the cause and the kingdom, and especially for her life. I thank you, God, for her community that she has, whatever that looks like, whether it's here at camp, church, friends, Lord, that you would create that environment for her to be everything that you have destined her to be and designed her to be. Lord, I thank you. But again, we pray for peace. I can pray that emphatically because I've been there so many times. When you show up, I know it's going to be okay. I thank you for this night. I thank you that the more I die, the more you live. And that's going to last for all eternity. And I thank you and I praise you for that. Seal this to her heart and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Brother Wayne. Good stuff.
Let's all stand. And just for a moment, just sit in his presence. Close your eyes, sit in his presence, and then I'll close this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your son's name I pray. Amen. 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 Let's give him a hand and worship him tonight. What a great, great God. Thank you all for being here. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Remember, there's popcorn up at the cafeteria. Y'all are dismissed. We'll see you.